hear what the Spirit has to say. For I build my church line upon line. I build line upon line my faith for where I'm taking you in the days ahead. And oh, surely as you've heard my voice tonight, that I'm pleased with your worship. Know also that I come in this place now with the word. Hear what the Spirit has to say, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'd give an ear now for sure. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. There is a reverence here, I can tell you that right now. And I do feel the teacher real strong. Real strong. Simplicity. I really do. Man. I know it's going to set in perfect with what we're feeling right now. So we're in one accord, in one mind. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it's amazing what we're taught. And though you cannot tell by the maroon typhoon, though you cannot tell where we're headed, it does not matter. Because as Miss Candy so said over and over again before worship, we rely on His truth, on His word, nothing else. If we lived our life based on natural facts, it'd be a sad situation. But we don't. We live our life in Him, out of our spirit, according to His truth, His word. And that's all, really. That's just really, that's it. You know, it's amazing that what we're taught and the way we teach the baptism, not the way we teach, let me rephrase, the way the Bible teaches the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you know that on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 2, you know they were in one accord and one mind before they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Before, Pastor Brown. And that word one accord means they had a unanimous mind. Unanimous. They all had, that's why there's no such thing as denominations. There's no such thing as Pentecostals or Baptists or, the Bible said they were first called Christians, we're at Antioch. Believers in Christ Jesus. With a unanimous mind. They had that without the Holy Spirit, man. Before, let me rephrase, they had a unanimous mind before the baptism of the Holy Ghost because they had the rebirth. They had the born-again spirit. But they were in one accord, in one place, without the baptism. We got the baptism. We got the power. So you're going to tell me that we're not going to fulfill our inheritance in our own lives and in this town for the people that need Jesus so much? I say yay, that we will. I say yay, we will. Talking to a pastor the other day, and I didn't have, this was not in my heart to teach or minister on, exhort. The first four or five chapters of Acts, I called pastors. I read them a few times, and I was really excited what I was seeing. And he corrected me without even knowing that he corrected. Not in a bad way, but not, I guess the word correct is not the right way, but he said something that bore witness with me. I said to myself, I don't know if he remembers the conversation. I said, Pastor Bronk, that's those first four or five chapters are chapters. That's the spirit of revival. And he said, not trying to debate with me, he said, man, Homer, there's such a unity of love. Yes, that's what it was. See, I don't know if there's a spirit of revival, but there is a spirit of love, and the fruit of the spirit of love is revival. So you read Acts, the first four or five chapters, they were together. They went to church daily. They were in one accord. They would sell their property and lay it at the apostles' feet. They would break bread together. I'm sure they'd worship together. They went from house to house teaching and preaching the word of God. And hundreds were added to them daily. Why? Because they remained in the apostles' doctrine. They remained in the apostles' doctrine. So that means that the apostles remained in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We keep marching, man. We keep marching. I speak on behalf of Pastor Bronk and Miss Candy. We want everybody here with us together. We really do. Because we all bring something to the table. When all the elders are here, it's great because we all bring something. We want each other here, not to occupy a seat, but because we're a family. We're to be in one accord and in one mind. And I can say that with very clean hands today. We want everybody here to, as a family. If you read Acts 1 through 5, it tells you what a family does. And you can't ever convince me of anything different. There was a spirit, like Pastor said, it was a spirit of love. First for God the Father, and then the fruit of loving God the Father is we love each other. We don't stay away from each other when we're truly in love with God. It's not the fruit of loving God. It's to stay away from a gathering. That's not the fruit of loving God. It's not. You'll never convince me of that. You can't show me biblically where that would be a fruit of loving God, is not wanting to partake, break bread with the brethren, and come worship God together collectively in a corporate gathering. You can't show me that in Scripture. And I'm not trying to debate it with you. I just know what I saw in Acts 1 through 5. I saw a unity, a unanimous mind in the saints of God. What unanimous mind was that? To be subject unto the Lord. Out of our spirits being in subjection to the provider, to the head of the church. His name was Jesus Christ. And a fruit of that was loving each other. From house to house, teaching and preaching the kingdom of God. No one had need. No one had need. They were together in one place, one mind, and one accord before the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2. Before the baptism. We got the Holy Ghost. We got what it takes to finish this, man. We got what it takes to finish this. I heard Pastor Day so eloquently quote this one time, 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to finish the race. We're going to fight a good fight. Because henceforth, there's laid up for us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto us that believe in his appearing. To every single one of us that believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Every battle we go through, every affliction or persecution or fiery trial we go through, one day, or even now, it's worth it. But one day we'll behold the Lamb of God. And he'll say unto me and you, Emily, good job. You gave it all you had. Emily, you finished your course. You fought a good fight. Emily, you kept the faith. Come feel the embrace of the Lamb of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That exhortation came from him because I didn't have it planned within me. I was just praying in the Holy Ghost and in the Scriptures all day long. You just don't plan. You just don't prepare. I come here. Really, I come to church. If I'm asked to minister, I'll minister. I could just as well sit down and hear Pastor Bonk minister. I just get excited to come to church. I just get excited to come to church, that's all. I just get excited. I get really excited. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me teach you something, a little something here. Let me teach you a little something. You're gonna love this. We're adding a little bit to 1 John, familiar portion of scripture. Jesus said in the first verse of Matthew 5, he said on the famous Mount of Transfiguration, I'm not gonna go there, I'm just gonna quote a verse. On the famous Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Some believe that Luke 6 is also part of the same sermon, just a shorter version. I don't know if it is or isn't. I'm starting to think that it is because of what surrounds Luke 6 before and after and what surrounds Matthew 5, 6, 7 before and after. But that's immaterial. It doesn't really matter. But Jesus said, the first verse of Matthew chapter 5, he said, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened up his mouth, and he taught them, saying." And I believe the last verse in chapter 7 on the mountain of Transfiguration, as he taught the Sermon on the Mount, I believe the last verse is, and you can correct me, it doesn't matter, and hearing his doctrine, they were astonished at his doctrine because he taught them as one having authority and not as the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Is that what it says, more or less? Okay, so from the first verse of Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, to the end of chapter 7 was a teaching from the perfect prototype, and his name was Jesus Christ. What he taught in Matthew 5 to 1 to the last verse of chapter 7 was the fulfillment. Do you know that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets? You know, he was the fulfillment. So what he taught there, because he said halfway through chapter 7, maybe a little less than halfway, he said, "And this is the law and the prophets." He said, "This is the law and the prophets." What he just taught was a fulfillment of the law and the prophets, which was what? Love. He came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. He said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the right of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case or no wise enter the kingdom of God." So what he taught in Matthew 5, 1 through the end of chapter 7 was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He preached love. He preached things like, "But I say unto you, love ye your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those which hate you," or "do good to those that hate you, and pray for those which despitefully use you and persecute you. They may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." This is what got me. He said, "Do these three things that I just asked you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." Wait a minute. If my Father's in heaven, then I'm already his what? Child. How can he be my Father again if my Father's in heaven? How can he be my child? How can he be my Father again if he's already my Father? But Jesus said, "But I say unto you, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." He said, "Love ye your enemies." Why? "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." Well, the whole teaching, Jesus, is to disciples. Because our Father is in heaven, how can I be my Father in heaven once again? If I'm his child and he's my Father and he's in heaven, well, how can he be my Father once again? It wasn't what Jesus was saying. He said, "When you love ye your enemies, you'll be a child of your Father which is in heaven to your enemy." He'll say, "My God, I persecuted this man. I persecuted this woman. There's something different about them. Surely they're peacemakers. Surely this is the child of God." He said, "That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." He's already my Father, man. But society has to see who Christ is in me, to say, my God, of a true, that Gary Flint is a different species. Surely he is a child of God. That's not what the sermon's about. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets was in Matthew 5, 1 through the end of Matthew 7. But John had his own words of what the fulfillment of the law and the prophets were. Different terminology. Same thing though. Matthew records that Jesus said, this is the law and the prophets. What he just quoted before was the law and the prophets. He was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. His word was the law and the prophets. Fulfilling his word was the law and the prophets. But John, in different words, basically said the same thing. Now I want you to hear this. And I'm going to teach you something as the Holy Ghost has taught me. Listen to what John said on the Isle of Patmos. They say 75 years to write five chapters. 75. Listen to what John wrote. Listen to what he wrote. Don't think or don't get caught up in what I'm going to quote you. It's a lot. Don't get caught up in that. I like for you to close your eyes and hear and behold what the law and the prophets were to John. Close your eyes with me and listen carefully. I'm going to go through this real so he can grasp it. John said, in God is light. This is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. John said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Keep listening. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk as he walked. I'm almost done. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto thee, but an old commandment. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother, is in darkness and walketh in darkness. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. My friends, in John's own words, this is the law and the prophets. Jesus Christ reconciling me and you to God the Father, and me and you walking in the very thing that we're born of, which is love. We were created to love one another. We were created to love one another. That cries out of our spirit. It cries out of our spirit to love one another. 1 John chapter 1, John said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What does at all mean? At all. I looked it up in the Greek, and I had Pastor Bronk help me look it up. We concluded that it meant at all. I looked it up in the Mexican dictionary. It said at all. Looked it up in a Creole dictionary, but they didn't have a dictionary, so I couldn't look it up. Said at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. / No exception. Listen to this. I beg you to listen to this. John said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I just read to you the perfect blueprint of what love is. I read unto you the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, which is love through Christ, reconciling me and you to the Lord, to God the Father. But John says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all, none whatsoever. No exceptions in the Father. He can't do nothing but love me and you. He is incapable of not loving me and you. In fact, he loved us when we were dead dog sinners. You think about it. He loved us. We were perverted, no good. Everything that Paul lists in Galatians 5 about the works of the flesh are manifest, which is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, murders, emulations, variance, drunkenness, revelings, murder. Paul lists all the things that unregenerate people do. He listed the things that all unregenerate people do. He said the works of the flesh are manifest. So he listed what people that are not born again do. He listed what they do. Paul also said real quick, and we're going to go back to 1 John chapter 1. Paul also said, you were sometimes darkness. I'm not even going to go into Ephesians. That's Ephesians 4. He said, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye lights in the Lord. He said, walk ye as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Listen to what he said. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. He said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What you got to know is that Paul was addressing the church of Ephesus, and he was addressing believers, born again believers. He said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But notice what he said walking in the light was. Listen to me. I'm going to break down to you word for word what it means to walk in the light. Well, we know what it means, but per se, per the text, walking in the light is obeying the new nature, obeying the inner witness, obeying what's right inside of me and you. But I'm going to show you verse upon verse what exactly it means to Paul, as Paul taught the church of Ephesus, of what it means to walk in the light. He said, for you were darkness, but now are ye lights in the Lord. Walk ye as children of the light. He goes on to the very next verse to tell us what it means to walk in the light. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. So to walk in the light means to walk in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That word Spirit is not making reference to the Holy Ghost. It's making reference to our brand new born again spirit. He said, walk ye as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So to walk in the light, Paul said in Galatians 5, for the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of a man or woman that's born again, this is what they walk in. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. He said, against such, he said, there is no law. You know why he said that? Because a law has been fulfilled through love. He said, against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. John said, in different terminology, same meaning, he said, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no exception in the Father. He loves everyone, from the homosexual to the lesbian to the adulterer to the fornicator to the Muslim to the Baptist to the charismatic to the Mormon. Every single body he loves. He can't love one any more than he does the other, because he's love. That's all he is. In him there is no darkness whatsoever, none at all. You have to establish that. You have to establish that God is light. God is what we are to walk in. Is that a true statement? God is goodness. Amen? God is righteousness, amen. God is truth, amen. So we are to walk in what the Father is. Is that a true statement? I want you to think about it now. Is that really a true statement that we are to walk in what God is? God is light. Now, this is going to go against the religious mind. Not that we're very religious here. I think we've done a great job of not being religious. But I just asked you a question, and you said, mm-hmm, and I said, mm-hmm, too, till I kept reading and praying in tongues more and more and more. Paul said to walk ye as children of light. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Galatians 4, I think that is, right? Galatians 4. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit, or Galatians 4 or 5. I think you'd excuse me if I don't get it right. What is it, Pastor? 5:22. Or Ephesians. No, I'm quoting Ephesians. Now, I'm sorry. I'm quoting Ephesians. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit, he says, walk in the light. Then he's going to tell us immediately what it means to walk in the light. For the fruit of the Spirit, to live out of that new nature, is goodness, righteousness, and truth. John says, for God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Paul said, if we live in the light, let us also walk in the light. If we live in the light, if we live in the new nature, we have a new nature inside of us. The light has come and quickened us. We're sons of God. We live in the light. We live out of that new nature. We walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Goodness, bear with me, righteousness, and truth. John, different terminology, same meaning. He said, God is light. God is light. God is goodness. God is righteousness. God is truth. In God is no darkness at all. And then I asked you, as a teacher, I asked you, I said, then are we supposed to walk in what God is? And you said yes. And that really isn't a wrong answer. That is not a wrong answer. He said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. / no exception. There's no exceptions in the Father. He loves all the same, from the man that does a 40-day fast to the man that never fasts his whole life, from a man that gives his life to prayer and Bible worship and Bible reading and worship, to the one that to the whoremonger, to the fornicator that never knows him as Redeemer. His love for both are the same. For the sinner, he's incapable of loving me any more or any less than he loves you. He's incapable, because there's no darkness in my Father. It does not exist in him. He's incapable. He cannot love me any less than he loves you. He cannot love me any more than he loves you. Why? Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Simple. No brainer. So then I asked you, I said, are we to walk in what God is? We know that God isn't goodness. We know that God doesn't walk in goodness. We know God is what? Goodness. We know God doesn't walk in righteousness, that God is righteousness. We know that God doesn't walk in truth, that God is truth. But John said, for God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He said, God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. God is these things. And I'm asking you, I'm saying God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I just listed to you what God is. And then I asked you, I said, are we to walk as Christians? Who said no? Close. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Nothing. No darkness, no sin, nothing abides in our Father. Now, this is going to go against the religious mind, what I'm going to teach you. And some of the teenagers, young adults, heard a little bit of it Saturday. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I explained to you through Galatians 5 and through Ephesians what it meant, or what God is as light. I explained to you and I taught you word upon word what it means that God is. He is light. And I explained to you what light is. And I also said to you that we are to walk in light, because the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's what we walk in, proving what is acceptable to God. And then he said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, kick them to the curb. Here we go, 1 John again. I'm almost done. 1 John chapter 1, God is light. God is light. God is light, and in God is no darkness at all. Okay. There isn't but one place inside of me and you that's born again. And that's our spirit. Amen. Our flesh is not born again. Our soul is not born again. Our spirit, Ephesians says, that we are to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man, which after God, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. John said, for God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What did Paul say in Ephesians? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. John said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So basically, we didn't do what Paul told us to do in Ephesians, which was to reprove the works of darkness. He said, don't have fellowship with these works. Reprove them. Say no to them. Stand up and say, no, I will not partake of you. Don't do it. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, the beloved, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. One incredible thing about the teaching of 1 John, that John included himself in the word we. I had to take correction from the Holy Ghost Sunday night never to use the word you in the congregation again, because there obviously must have been something inside of me when I kept saying, you need to do this and you need to do that. He said, don't use that word again. It's we. If John the beloved that spent 3.5 years on the bosom of Christ, if he never said you and he said we, I think he knows a thing or two about love that I can learn from. That's why he said in John 4, 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another. He included himself in the word us as he spoke to the beloved. He said, beloved, let us, the beloved, those that are born of God, let us, me included, let us love one another. He didn't point a finger. He said, let us, the beloved, those that have the Spirit of God, let us love one another. He says in 1 John chapter 1, here we go. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. I asked you, and the religious mind is not going to agree with this. In here, you'll agree with it because you pray in the Spirit. But outside of the wall, they probably won't agree with us because it doesn't sound like the ordinary. There's only one place inside of me and you, only one place that's been lit. Our candle has been lit. Our spirit, which was created, as we inherited our spirit from the first man, Adam, that spiritual darkness, that sin nature. So now through Christ Jesus and the belief in Christ Jesus, we've inherited life. The glory of God now resides in our spirit. We've gone from death unto life, from unrighteousness to righteousness. Paul said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man in me and you. The new man in me and you, which is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. So I asked you, are we supposed to do what God is? And you said, yes, that is not the wrong answer. Because God is goodness, God is righteousness, and God is truth. And I asked you again, I'm redundant always for a purpose. And then I asked you, I said, are we supposed to do what God is? You said yes. I said yes before yesterday too. I said the same thing. But that's not completely true. That is not completely true. We're not supposed to do what God is. We're supposed to do what we are. Because what God is inside of our spirit. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we received of the life of the Father in our spirit, we receive the life of the Father. Listen to this, grasp it. If we receive the life of the Father in our spirit, if we received the life of the Father, a spiritual DNA in our spirit, when we were born again, we received a spiritual DNA. We received the glory of God. We received incorruptible seed. we receive the very essence, the image, the life of God in our spirit. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If I received the life of God in my human spirit, if I received an incorruptible seed inside my human spirit when I got born again, and if God is light and in him is no darkness at all, if that statement is true, which we know that it is, if that statement is true and I receive the life of God in my spirit and God is light and in him is no darkness at all, then guess what abides in my human spirit? According to what I just quoted, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Guess what's in my spirit? Light. And in that spirit is what? No darkness at all. So to say that we're supposed to do what God is, that's true. We're supposed to do what God is, or what we are, which is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. I only have one place inside of me where I can serve God the Father, and I call it a spiritual sanctuary. I call it the Holy of Holies. We serve God out of our spirit. When we leave that place of communion with the Father, when we leave that place of, you know what qualifies me to hate my brother in the book of 1 John? You know what qualifies me to hate you? To disannul his commandments. I can be the nicest person in the world. I can bake you a cake. I can hug you and tell you how beautiful you look. But I can live a life outside of this church, at my house, be addicted to pornography, and I'm still, no matter how nice I am to you, I can still be considered as a believer that hates his brother, even if I'm nice to you, because I'm disannulling his commandment. And if I disannul his commandment, this is the thing about 1 John, and if I disannul his commandment, and if I disannul it, there's only one place inside of me where I serve God the Father from. That's from my spirit, nowhere else. And if I disannul his commandment, in reality, that means that I hate you. But if I disannul that commandment and I cover it up and I'm okay with it, I'm saying that that darkness came from inside of my spirit. No, he said, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We say we have fellowship with God from our spirit. If we say we have koinonia with the Father, we say that we're abiding in that inner witness. We're saying that we're abiding in the light. He said, if you say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, you lie and you do not the truth that came out of your spirit. You disannulled it. You obeyed the commandment. You were okay with it. You're on your way to a dangerous position in the Father. He said, you call that light. But they're in but one place inside of me and you that we honor the Father. That's through our spirit. He said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What truth? The truth that came out of our spirit. You said the darkness that you were walking in was light. So, oh my God. He said, no, I told you to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather to reprove them. You had on to this. You hated your brother. You disannulled the commandments. And if that wasn't enough, you disannulled the commandment and you covered it up, calling it light. And when you called it light, you were adamant about the fact that you had koinonia with the Father. But John said, but you deceived your own heart. You deceived it. You're not in koinonia. That's why he said, love not the world or the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, pride of the eyes, and the lust of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. Love not the world or the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why would he say the love of the Father is not in him? Because they were saying that what they were doing, they were still having fellowship with the Father. He said, this is not of the Father, it's of the world. Why would he remind him of that? Had they not been calling what they had been partaking in the world, fellowship with the Father. Why would he address that? We have one place where we have fellowship in koinonia with the Father out of, and that's out of our spirit, out of the place in us that has his life in it. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. There's no exception there. But the church, we have held exception to to what's in our spirit. Father, I'm going to obey the inner witness with exception. I've always said to myself, I love Jesus with all my heart. But the corporate body of Christ, we have held his commandments with exception. The Bible says God is light, in him is no darkness at all. There's no exceptions. He is who he is. You know what? It's time that we conclude also that there should be no exceptions in us. Because I always said to myself, I love my wife. I love my kids. I love Jesus Christ. You try and mess with my wife, we're going to fight. You try and mess with my children, we're going to fight. That, my friends, is an exception. Our soul barks real quick. Try to mess with my wife, we're going to fight. That's an exception. That exception is not in the scripture. If God is light, in him is no darkness at all, and there's no exception in him, we're born, Paul said, we're born and created after who he is, righteousness and true holiness. If we are inside who he is, then there's no darkness in our spirit. It does not exist in our spirit. So therefore, my love towards you has to be with no exception whatsoever, because that exception does not abide in my spirit that has the life of God. And I love you. I'm supposed to love you 100% unconditionally. And this is the thing. When you hear the word love your brother, you're going to be surprised at how our soul can respond to that Bible verse. Beloved, let us, I'm almost done. Beloved, let us love one another. John included himself when he said that in 1 John chapter 4. But you're going to see how quick our soul is to respond to even a biblical statement like that. When we hear love our brothers, our soul will automatically almost kick us into remembering love your brothers that do good to you. Love your brothers in the church. No. Love your brothers in the world. There's no exception in our spirit that has the life of God in it. There is no, I don't care what they did to you. I don't care who took your husband. I don't care who took your wife. I don't care, and I just say this to make it the worst case scenario. I don't care, and though these things hurt, we know that. I'm not saying that they don't. I don't care what they did to your child, to your mother. It doesn't matter, because in our spirit, there's no exceptions. Only one thing comes out of our spirit, and that's the agape of the Father. Nothing else comes out of our spirit. If they take from you, it doesn't matter. If they talk about you, it doesn't matter. If they revile you, we revile not back. If you suffer, we commit to him who judges righteously. It doesn't matter. There is a place in our hearts, in our spirit, the part of us that's been born again. There is no exception in our spirit. Love comes out for me and you to fulfill the love of God that's in me and you, to love. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, no exception. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we live our lives outside of the new nature and we call it light, he said, you're lying. You're doing not the truth. What truth am I supposed to be doing? The truth that comes out of the new nature. If you cover that up and you're content with it and you justify it, see, you're not in koinonia with the Father. You're not operating out of that inner witness. You're operating out of the soul. And the bad thing about it is that we all have issues in our life. We all do. The moment we start justifying it and covering it up, that's a dangerous place to be with the Father. Why? Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no exception. There's no darkness in our Father. And his life, spiritual DNA, abides in our spirit. Therefore, in our spirit that has the life of God in it, there is no exception. All we are called to do is to love one another and nothing else. No exceptions. We say we have fellowship with him out of our spirit and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. The truth is to have fellowship with him out of our spirit, qualifying us to walk in the light. On the contrary, we are to not have any fellowship at all with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather we're called to reprove them as believers, saying, no, that, my friends, is fellowship with the Father. And if by chance we slip up, we have a promise. We have a promise in these last words. We have a promise in 1 John chapter 2, where John said, my little children, these things I, listen to what he said, these things I, John, the beloved, these things I write unto you. My little children, he says, I write unto you that you may know. Man, I just forgot that Bible verse. My little children, these things I write unto you that you may know. Gosh almighty. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, listen to this. He said, these things write I. Listen how awesome John is. This is love speaking here. My little children, these things write I. My little children, these things write I unto you. My little children, these things write I unto you that you may know. Gosh almighty, I forgot it again. Okay, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we, he said, I'm writing to you, but if any man sin, we, he included himself in the word we again, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is a propitiation for what? Our sin. Our sin. And not for our sin only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He included himself in the word we and in the word our. He said that we have an occasion. And I love what Pastor Bronk said Sunday. We were created not to sin. We weren't born again to sin and justify sin. No. We never have to commit adultery again. We never have to fornicate again. Never again. Why? Because we've died to that filth. We never have to do it again. Never, ever, ever have to do it again. Never. Never. Why? Because we've been created after God in righteousness. And true holiness, a spiritual DNA resides inside of me and you. And if you slip up, you go to 1 John chapter 2. You say, Jesus, cleanse me of my sin. But don't you ever, ever, don't you ever, ever justify it. Don't ever justify it. And I'm done in 2 minutes. And this is another thing where we can almost speak to ourselves in a logical manner. Well, I don't do it a lot. I just do it on occasion. Well, you know what Paul said? He said, don't even speak about the things that are done by them in secret. See, we give ourselves a little grace, a little exception there sometimes. Well, and I don't do it that much. Paul said, don't even speak about those things that are done by them in secret. So don't even. So you're going to tell me that me and you don't have the power to say no to the flesh? We have that power inside of us. Paul said, don't even speak about these things. Don't even speak about them. Don't even speak about them. So you're going to tell me there's not a powerful operation inside of me and you? A powerful, powerful operation that has no darkness in it whatsoever? If we stand firm in the conviction and the saturation of the Holy Spirit, doing what we're taught here to do, spending time with Jesus Christ, my friends, it gets easier and easier and easier. And if by chance you slip up once or twice on the way, you go to 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our. He included himself in the word we, in the word our. He said, beloved, let us love one another. He included himself in the word us as he addressed the beloved. I'm telling you, my friends, if you can grasp some of this stuff, if you can grasp that the life and the power of God that lives inside of you, if you can grasp it and understand it, I'm telling you, there's things at the corporate body of Christ that we have done that we can laugh at them. We can laugh at them and say, my God, I cannot believe that I was in bondage to this. When it's so simple to walk out of it as we comprehend what happened the day that me and you got born again, where we were called into sonship. If we can ever comprehend the power of his DNA inside of me and you, if we can ever comprehend the power of his life inside of our human spirit, we will laugh at the things that we did yesterday. We will laugh at them. There's a reason that Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of a man that's born again. The fruit of a woman that's born again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. He said, against such, there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We got to walk out what lives in us. We got to put on the new man and put off the old one, my friends. We got to reprove the unfruitful works of God and say, no, you're not my daddy anymore. I have been born of the Father. I have been born again. I stand here at attention to the inner witness. And I tell you, no, I will not give myself over to you because I do not have to. Because I've been created. My spirit has been created after God the Father in righteousness and true holiness. I got the power to reprove you. I got the power to put on the new man. And when you put on that new man, my friend, you're putting on the whole armor of God. And guess who cannot come? Guess who cannot come and intimidate you and slow down your game when you put on the whole armor of God? He said, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. We may stand against the devils, against his craftiness, against his fiery darts. We can stand against him at any time of the day. When we put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness, when we put him on, as a lifestyle, we put on the whole armor of God. And there ain't a devil in hell that can stop me and you from going forward and finishing our call in Christ Jesus. No one can stop us. As God is, so are we in spirit in this world. As God is, so are we in this world. He is love. We are love. He is power. There's a power inside of our spirit to overcome sin. The power to heal and to cast out devils and to cast out all manner of disease, that's the Holy Ghost. That's his power. He does that. All we do is believe in Christ Jesus and believe that the power of God rests inside of us, which is the Holy Ghost. The apostles were crazy enough to believe they had nothing to do with a miracle. They knew within themselves that the miracles that they worked had nothing to do with themselves, but that they were born of the Father. And Acts chapter 1 said, and you shall receive power after, and you shall receive power after, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. They knew that the power was received to fulfill their ministry in God, to cast out devils, to heal the sick. They knew that that power came unto them from the Holy Ghost. My friends, in these last 30 seconds, Jesus told me and you, he told me and you that I give you power over unclean spirits to cast them out and all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He said, I give you power to tread upon serpents. Listen to this. He's speaking to you. I give you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents and upon all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any wise or by any means hurt you. Jesus told me and you, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Let me tell you something. Do not be deceived. That power comes from the Holy Ghost, from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, you shall receive power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. After you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you begin to pray in tongues, that's when the power. You can argue with me all you want. Read Book of Acts chapter 1. And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea, and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's all done in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, my friends. It is found nowhere else. What God is in our spirit. God is light. Our spirit is light. In God, there's no darkness at all in our spirit that's been created in righteousness and true holiness. There's no darkness in our spirit at all either. We have been born again. The life of God abides in me and you. There's a spiritual DNA in our spirit that liveth and abideth forever, and it is the glory of the Father. Amen? Amen. So God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, koinonia, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He said in Ephesians, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You got the power. I got the power to say no to any damnable work of the flesh. Amen. God bless you.